Be'ez Hashem Yisbochu, we begin Perek Achad Asur, the 11th chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Mais and the Laws of Tithe and the Sefer Zeruim. The Rambam continues regarding this concern of Tumai and who's trusted, and in this Perek specifically regarding assisting someone to violate, and also other concerns regarding a stumbling block in these halachas. As Rambam begins Halacha Alf, regarding selling Tumai to other people. So also Limker Esa Tumai Lama Arts. As we said in the previous program, Tumai is Damai, we don't know what this is because it was bought from Nama Oritz. We're not sure if the appropriate maestros were taken from it. It's forbidden to sell this Damai to an ignoramus, or Lashloichlo Damai, or to send him as a gift Damai. Neshu Misayeya Lazel Lelechel Dabar Ha'asa, because you're assisting this Nama Oritz to eat something that's forbidden, because the Nama Oritz is not going to take off the appropriate tithes from the Damai. Aval Meichon Rashachan Oisel Tamid Chacham. But one is permitted to sell or to send as a gift to Talmudic scholars, specifically Demai, which is only rabbinically forbidden, but by definite tevel, it's forbidden in the Torah not to send even to a chaver, unless if it's necessary. And the reason why it's permitted to send Demai to Talmud Chacham is in Talmud Chacham, because the Talmudic scholar is not going to eat it until he tithes it, or until someone trustworthy notifies him that it was already tithed. So there is not a concern about Misayel or Dvaveh, that you can assist him in sinning. Halacha Beis. Anyone who sells in bulk and adds on to the measurement when they're selling these large measurements, like for example wholesalers who sell large quantities in one shot, and those who sell grain, they're permitted to sell demai and to send it as gifts to Talmud Chacham, because they're anyways adding to the quantity more than what they have to, and therefore the buyer is really getting the better part of the deal. So iskin the chacham they instituted, that the consumer or the one that's getting the gift, he has to separate the tithes of the demai. Now, but those who measure with small measurements, like storekeepers, like retail, since the seller is the one who's gaining, so who mafresh, he has to separate, and he's not allowed to sell nor send, only if it's already been fixed, the tithes of the demai. What's considered a large measurement that he's exempt and the consumer has to separate? So biyavish, by dry goods, is chatzi sa, it's a half a sa, and by liquids, it's a mida, it's a measurement, shemachzekes, shoved dinner, ma'isa da balach, that it contains that which is worth a dinner of that liquid. Halacha Dalad, Sali Zaysim, Vanovim, regarding baskets of grapes and olives, Vakupishal Yarik, and baskets of vegetables. Afapishu Moichim Ach Sara, although he sells it with an estimate, Asalamachim Demai, it's still forbidden to sell it as Demai until you fix it, because since you're not doing an excess necessarily, like the Midigasa, then it's the obligation of the seller. Halacha Hey, Amar Echadim, let's say one of them, either the seller or the buyer, says, okay, Bayun Nasakan and Paris say, let us fix these pairs. So Bain Shahoy Meicher Bedaka, so whether it was the seller who's selling in the small quantity, which really the responsibility of the seller, as we said in the prior halacha. But the consumer is willing to go ahead and do it together. Oivagasor is selling a large quantity, which actually it's really the buyer's responsibility, and the seller is agreeing to do it with the buyer. In that case, when they're agreeing to do it together, they don't do each one half and half. Rather, Hameicher Mafresh Trumas Maisa, the seller, he separates the Trumas Maisa. Lekeich Mafresh Maisa Sheni, and the buyer, he separates Maisa Sheni. But Davos Etznai Beznu, and this it was an institution of the courts that that's how they should divvy up these obligations of the Tamai. Halacha Vav, Chaver VaAm Aretz Sheyosher Savim Am Aretz. Let's say a Talmudic scholar and ignoramus both inherit their father, who is also Nam Aretz. So the fruits that they're inheriting is Demai. Yochel Hu Laimer, so the Talmud Chacham could tell his brother the Am Aretz. Okay, Talat Techidim Shem Bemkayim Plain. You take the wheat in that place. Vani Chidim Shem Bemkayim Plain. I'll take the wheat in a different place. Ati Yain Shem Bemkayim Plain. You take the wine in that place. Vani Yain Shem Bemkayim Plain. I'll take the wine in a different place. That's permitted to be done because that's his portion. That's his portion. But he's not allowed to say tolat achidim ani soim. You take the wheat and I'll take the barley. Tolat alach ani yevish. You take the liquids, I'll take the solids. No, because that's like selling demai, because each one has a portion, each one, and so it's not like that was your portion, this is my portion. No, if he's taking all the wheat and he's taking all the barley, obviously there's a transfer, there's a barter, there's a sale going on over here, and you're not allowed to sell demai to an amal aretz, which is his brother, and therefore that would be forbidden. Lachazan Ram continues regarding how to fix demai from a concern of causing a stumbling block to others. So Mishal Yenoisi Yark, let's say someone is carrying vegetables of demai, which already had Gemar Malacha for obligation of Meisr, and it's too heavy of a load. He wants to lighten his load by just throwing it on the side of the street just to lighten his load. He's not throw off the vegetables until he ties, because even though he's being mafkrid, declaring it ownerless, that does not exempt from ma'isa, only if you would do that before the Gemar Malacha. This already had Gemar Malacha. And the reason why he has to tithe this first, it shouldn't be a stumbling block for the ignoramuses on the street that are going to eat it in the state of Demai, which again would be a takal. Someone buys vegetables from the marketplace, from Am Ha'aretz, and he already did Meshich, he drew it to himself. So even if he didn't weigh, the mother didn't measure, he didn't even give money, and he changed his mind, and the storekeeper's okay, he's going to return it to the storekeeper? No, he's not allowed to return it until he takes a meiser, again, because it's already been his, and now it's a transfer, what he's not allowed to do to give a demai without taking off meiser first. Halacha tes, hamaitzei peres. If someone finds peres, which already had gemar malacha, and he finds it baderech on the road, which is hefka, and he's meriting in it now. So, imriv machnisim lebotein, if most of the people, they bring it, the produce, to their house, which is permitted to eat as a snack until it's brought to the house, so then patur malaser. So this finder is exempt from tithing it if he wants to just snack from it. Shadayin l'nikva l'maaser, because he has not had the kviyas of maaser until it got to that person's house. And here it was lost on the road. V'imreiv machnisin limke b'shug, but if most go and take it to bring it to sell it in the marketplace, which that actually becomes kavuah v'maaser the moment that they finish the gemar malacha, aharei l'demai. So then it's already considered as demai, and therefore he'd be obligated to tithe it. And if it's 50-50s, half take it to the shuk and half take it to their house, it's also demai. We still have that suffix, and one would have to go ahead and separate the tithe. Let's say someone took these produce to eat them. Then he changes his mind that, no, he's not going to eat it, he just wants to put it away. So So we're talking about where most people, the produce that he found, most people take it to the shuk. So it was already obligated. So he's not delayed until he ties it. One of his family members, it shouldn't be a stumbling block for them because it's already has the obligations right now. So even though he's not going to eat it, and if he did, obviously he would have to take off ties. He's just going to put it away. No, you can't leave something that's forbidden around in your house without taking care of it. Now, but let's say initially when he took it, he only took it that shouldn't get lost, but he never really intended to be zeich in it, to acquire it. Then he's allowed delayed by himself, and he does not have to take it off the tithe because he's not taking them for himself to create the obligation. Until he wants to eat them, or to send it to someone as a gift, or to sell it via demai. Then he has to tithe it as demai because, like we said, if most of them are taken to the shuk, it has that obligation. And if he took it to be zeicha, if he didn't take it to be zeicha, it's not really his. So he doesn't have the obligation. But if he did, then he would be obligated right away. Halacha yud aleph, knivas yarak, which is the cutting of the vegetables, which are the leaves of the vegetables that were ruined, that are torn off. Hanimtzas beginu, which are found in the gardens, which the gardeners had torn off. Harizu b'tumin ha-demai. Those parts of the vegetables are exempt from demai, because they only tear off with that which is very moldy, and that's even if there was trumas, it would be permitted to a non-kohen. Now, mishal balabais and nimtzas babais. Now, however, the parts that are cut off by the homeowner in his house, that's chayevis, that would be obligated because the homeowner would cut off even that which is only a little bit moldy and which is still edible and which still have the halachas of trumas on them. Now, shalgabi ashba, that which is on the garbage, even that which on top, which is easy to take off, but b'chamakim, wherever it is, even by a homeowner in his garbage, muteris is going to be permitted because it lost the designation of a food item and it wouldn't have the problem of demai because of the trumas that are inside of it. Halachid Beis Ram continues regarding fixing demai when it's a concern that maybe it was swapped. Hanoisin la puntikis, if someone gives to the female innkeeper, which the custom was that the merchants would give their food, their ingredients to the innkeeper, and she would go ahead and prepare that food. So if he gives to her lavash loy belefes loy to cook for him, to bake for him, so ma'asa eshu hu naisin loy. He has to tithe beforehand what he gives to her. The reason that is we're going to explain, because since she swaps it, k'deish loyiyah takol achem, it shouldn't be something like for others, because whoever it is that she's going to use his stuff for is going to be using untithed. So he has to tithe it before he gives it to her. And then he has to tithe it again, what he takes back from her. Because she is suspect to swap ingredients. And she does it because she's what's called Meira Heter. She says, well, I'm putting in all this effort, and therefore she could take for herself the good and give him the inferior. So the concern is both ways. What he's giving her, whoever's going to end up having it, we have to be concerned. And what she's giving him back might be from somewhere else. Also could be untithe. So he has to tithe both ways. But that's regarding the female innkeeper. Someone's giving it to his mother-in-law. Whether he married her daughter, or whether he's just engaged her. Or let's say to his neighbor. He gives pas lef, his bread to bake, and a dish to cook. In a chayshish, then you don't have to be concerned. Not for the laws of tithes, not for the laws of the shemitah year. And the reason is in the chashut lahachlef. The mother-in-law, the neighbor, they're not suspect to swap because the mother-in-law, she can't be married, she doesn't have an excuse. No, we need all need rationalizations. It's very normal for a mother-in-law to have to do such a thing for her daughter and her son-in-law. And so the neighbors is a neighborly thing. This innkeeper, she doesn't have to. So she's like, well, you know, she's rationalizing. Well, I don't have to do this. I definitely could take from him. So by her, it's a suspect, but not by the neighbor nor the mother-in-law. Now, when we say this, when he gave her yeast for the dough and for spices for the pot, that's where we have this halacha. But if he didn't give, so then then we have to be concerned for tithes, because maybe she put in the dough and put in the pot the yeast and the spices of demai, and the spices are obligated in meiser, and the chayshim mishum shvius, and then you have to suspect for shmita. Well, the fikach meiser shna shmita, and therefore if it was a shmita, you also see me forbidden shemasa or misfikach shvius. So maybe the yeast is from the leftovers, the aftergrowths of the shmita year, and that is a concern where she's not going to swap. But if you didn't give her, maybe she put in these ingredients, and that would be a concern for halachas of maisers and shemitah. Halacha yud gimel. Hamoy lechitav. If someone is transporting his wheat, which he had separated the trumas and maisers, and he brings it l'techan ha'aretz to the one who grinds the wheat, who is an ignoramus. So harin bechas kasan. There it retains its status. She'en l'chash l'hachlef, because the one who grinds is not suspect to swap the grain. Let's say he brings it to a Gentile one who grinds the wheat. Harim demai, it will be considered as demai. Shema chlifin bechidim shalam aretz, because maybe he's going to swap it with the wheat of an amaretz, because just like he brings his wheat to him, so to an amaretz who his payers are demai. And bechidim mafkid it's lam aretz, so to some of the deposits his produce by the amaretz. Harim chaskasin, it retains its status just like when it goes to the teichan amaretz. Because he's not suspected to just swap someone's deposits. If there was an ignoramus who was an attendant in the store of a Talmud Chacham, who people will eat in there in the dinery, and he was the waiter, he was serving them. Although the employer, the Chavr, the Talmud Chacham, was really busy with the company, and he wasn't really paying attention to the store, he was just coming and going. He's a mutter, it's still permitted what you're eating from this Amoritz waiter. You don't have to be concerned that maybe the waiter had switched the foods. Now, if the owner is not coming and going, then you have to be suspect. And although we had said in the previous halacha that Amoritz is not suspect to swap, that's only by deposit, because touching someone's deposit is off limits. But by store, everything is there to sell. We're concerned that maybe he's going to give the consumers his own, and he's going to take from the store their portion. So therefore, if the owner is not here at all, then we would have to suspect. But if he's coming and going, what's called Yitiv Nichnas, then we don't have to be concerned that maybe he swapped it. Halacha Tzvav, Hamafkid Pei Reisav Itzal Goy. If someone deposits his produce by a Gentile, then Harim Kippur Reisav Itzal Goy. Like I said in the Halacha of Yud Gimel, the contrast between Amoritz and the Gentile regarding the Teich and the grinder, so too over here by the Mafkid, by depositing, depositing the produce by a Gentile, then Harim Kippur Reisav Itzal Goy, that's going to have the same status as a Gentile's produce. Because we do presume that he would switch the deposit. And what's its halachic status? So if it was produce that had not yet finished its work, meaning and he had not separated his trumas and isis, the nigmar biyad yisrael achash lakach begadim, then the Jew finished the work, the procedures that it needs to be done after he took back the deposit from the Gentile. So mafresh ma'isrus of a kibbutz should be honest, and he separates his tithes, as we explain in Perak Alf and Hilchas Trumas Halacha Yud Alf, where if the Yisrael takes from the guy Paris that did not have gemar malacha and he finishes in his domain, so he's chayv and Trumas and ma'isrus minat Torah, but he doesn't give ma'isrushin ma'isrul Levi. Doesn't give ma'isrushin to the Levi. Now the moi Paris shehifket tefolim, The Nigmalach, let's say the produce that he had deposited by the Gentile were untithed produce that already had Gemar Malacha, Chayv Lahafresh, he didn't have to separate, Shemala Hichlev Agoy, because maybe the Gentile did not swap it. Because if he did swap it, actually, he would be Potter. Because the Dagon of the Gentile is actually Potter. But maybe he didn't swap it, and it's his own stuff, which again, it's still Tevel. So the Fikach Yiroli, therefore says Rama, actually appears to me, Shamaisa Shafresh, the Taisa is going to separate, is actually Suffolk, it's actually doubtful. And he doesn't have to give it to the Kohen Levi because maybe actually was swapped and maybe actually was the Gentiles not obligated. But let's say he deposited by the Gentile chulin that was already fixed, already everything was finished appropriately and tight. In a tzarch lafresh chulin, then he doesn't have to separate anything. Why? Because here's what's called mamon of shach. Shafil hechlev aglei peturim, because even if the Gentile did swap it, he would be exempt. I mean, if it's his own, he already fixed it. And if the Gentiles, he would also be exempt. Kamishran hechlev trumas, like we explained, hechlev trumas over there, that it says in the Torah, the gancha, your grain, which is the gangoi, but not the grain, which means actually the procedures of processing the grain of the Gentile, that actually is not obligated. So Maman of Shach, either way, if it's his own, he already did it, and if it's the Gentiles, and he processed it, that's also going to be exemption. So either way, in that case, he doesn't have to be concerned whether he swapped it or not, and he's going to be exempt from the tithes.